Continue where we left off last Thursday, and we are now going to be at Exodus chapter 16. And even though it's a big chapter, we're actually going to read the entire chapter this evening. We're going to cover the entire chapter, and we'll begin in verse 1, and we'll read all the way down to verse 36. And this will actually be the only time in our study where we'll read the entire chapter. I know 36 verses at times are not easy to read. It's a lot of verses, but it's important for us to understand first the chapter and understand what's going on before we get into our study. And so we'll be in Exodus chapter 16. Amen, fam? Amen. Let's begin in verse 1 and let's just read this chapter together. This is what the word of the Lord declares. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent.' And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as they could eat. And Moses said to them, 'Let no one leave any of it over till the morning.' But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms, and it stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning, they gathered it, each as much as he could eat, but when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning." So they laid it aside till the morning as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink and there was no worms in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none." On the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain, each of you, in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. Now the house of Israel called its name manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omer of manna in it and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. And omer is the 10th part of an ephah." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. And all of God's people declare, amen. Amen, family. By saying amen, you agree with me. Now, what we read here in Exodus 16 truly is the word of the Lord. This evening, fam, I have titled our Bible study simply Bread from Heaven. Bread from Heaven. If you recall, let me just give you a review of where we're at and what we covered in Exodus last week. If you recall, we finished up Exodus chapter 15, and we saw the story, the event, when God made bitter waters into sweet waters for his people. If you recall, we learned that the Lord led his people into the wilderness, into the desert, and we're told that they came to a place called Marah. And really, this place only had bitter water. The people of Israel were very thirsty. They were dehydrated, just dying for water. It's a desert. We can understand a little bit what they were going through. And they were looking for water. They were looking to quench their thirst. But they only found bitter water. They only found salt water that was not drinkable. And so we learned that right away they begin to complain. And they begin to really tell Moses, "What shall we drink? What are you thinking, Moses? What are you doing? Leading us here, we are going to die." They did really what they did best, complained and grumbled. But we learned that really what was going on is that the Lord was testing his people. And really the Lord was testing his people to teach them to trust in him. That's really going to be a reoccurring theme in Exodus. And that's really a reoccurring theme in our lives and in our Christian walk. God is constantly teaching us to trust in him. God is constantly allowing us to go through seasons where we're thirsty. Seasons where, man, it's hard. It's difficult. But it's all part of God's plan, because God, more than anything else, God wants to teach us to trust in him. God wants faith. God wants trust. God wants his people to walk by faith and not by sight. And so God sometimes leads us to places like Mara, to bitter places, not to hurt us, but to help us, to build us up, to edify us, and to teach us to trust in him. Because like Israel, a lot of times instead of trusting God, we complain and we whine and we murmur and we panic and we start pointing fingers. We're a lot like the people of Israel. But God had a plan. He knew exactly what he was doing. And so he takes them to Mara to test them, to teach them, to trust in him. And then he instructs Moses. And this is what he tells Moses. He says, Moses, go get a log. Go get a tree branch, he would say, and throw it in the water. And we're told that Moses did exactly what God said to do. And right when that tree branch, right when that log entered the water, we're told that God did a miracle. And the bitter waters were made sweet. And really the picture there is that God turned something bitter into something sweet. That God has the power to take something bitter, something bitter in our life. And we've all experienced bitter times. What is a bitter time? A bitter time is when something happens to you that hurts. Something happens that you don't know why. Something happens and there's pain and there's sorrow and there's bitterness. We've all experienced times like that. Maybe some are right now going through a bitter time. But the picture we get there in Exodus 15 is that God can take our bitterness and our pain and our sorrow, and God can turn it into something sweet. That God could make an oasis out of a Mara, a Palm Springs out of a Mara. That he has that power, that God has the power to take our pain and our sorrow and our cuts and bruises and scars, and he's able to use it for his glory and for his good. And all he asks us to do is trust in him. And I will be the first to confess, that's not easy to do. That is hard to do. I think at times, you know, you hear preachers, or maybe you even heard me, you know, just with that exhortation, hey, just trust in the Lord, just have faith in the Lord. And I think at times that can be presented as something easy, but the truth is it's not easy to trust in the Lord sometimes. Sometimes, and we don't see it, we don't understand it, and it's hard. It's hard. Now, I remember when my mom passed away, it was hard to trust in the Lord. It was hard as a 25-year-old young man, and after seeing his mom just pass away from a horrendous sickness, cancer just ate her alive, it was hard to trust in God. It was hard to allow God to take that bitterness and turn it into something sweet. And listen, just to be real, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not just from one day to the next that bitterness is into sweetness. I wish it was. We wish it was, amen. But it takes time. It takes time. But we can rest assured that man, God is faithful. That God is faithful, and he will do that work, and he will give us grace. It will be a work of God in our hearts, in our lives, that will teach us to trust in him. And that's what God is doing in his people, and that's what God is doing in his people here. He's teaching us to trust in him. God literally is taking us by the hand, taking us through the wilderness, teaching us to trust in him. Let me just say it like this, just to kind of hit it home before we actually start the study. Whatever you're going through right now, God wants to use it to teach you to trust in him. Whatever you're going through. Now, some of you are going through deep stuff. Some of you, maybe right now, it's not as deep. But whatever it is, big or small, God wants to use it to teach you more than anything else that he is in control and that you can trust in him. Now, this evening, we're going to continue the story. Some of you are like, hey, just keep going with the bitter and the sweet waters. Oh, we got to keep the story going. And now we're in chapter 16, all right, fam? And this is now what we're going to be looking at. Now we're going to look at the bread from heaven that the Lord provided for his people. Really, the end of chapter 15 and chapter 16 go together. Remember, when Exodus was written, there's no chapters and there's no verses. Amen? Sometimes, you know, we read our Bibles and you got all the chapters, all the verses, and I'll be honest with you. I'll be just completely honest with you. At times it messes us up. At times the chapters and verses do not help, but they literally take away the flow of the text, because you kind of see chapter 15 and it ends, and then like your brain just kind of goes to chapter 16, and sometimes you forget what you read in chapter 15, but they all go together. And so the idea is, in chapter 15, the Lord provides water. The Lord teaches his people to trust in him for water. He provides water. Now when we get to chapter 16, once again, the Lord is teaching his people to trust in him. And now he's going to provide food. To survive, what do you need? Water, and you need food. And so the idea is, God is ready, God is willing, God is able to provide exactly what we need to survive our Christian walk, to serve the Lord, to serve the Lord with victory, to serve the Lord in a victorious way. God is able to provide everything we need, whatever it is, whether it's water or food, spiritually speaking, God is able to provide. And so that's the idea. So let's begin. This is what we're going to do. Let me just give you a quick review of what we just read, and then I want to share a little bit about God's provision. Now, look with me again in verse 1. Verse 1, this is what's going on. We're told that the people, they set out from Elim, and really from Marah, at the end of chapter 15, they go to Elim. And from there, forgive me. Yes, they're in Elim, and then from there they go to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. All you need to know is they're in the desert north of Egypt. Okay, as you're reading these, you're like, I don't know where they're at. You know what? It doesn't even matter. They're just in the desert. All right, fam. They're in the desert, and a lot of people sometimes don't even know where these places are at right now, because over time, names have changed and places have changed, but they're near the Sinai Desert, south of Israel, north of Egypt. And this is what we're told. Look with me, verses 2 and 3. As they arrive to the wilderness of Sin, they're between Elim and Sinai. They're really marching towards Sinai. That's where the Lord's going to give them the Ten Commandments. We're told that as they get to the wilderness of Sin, they begin to complain again. They begin to mumble against Moses and Aaron. But this time it was not for water, but it was for food. And look at verse 3. Literally they begin to say, man, why didn't God just kill us in Egypt? It would have been so much easier. That's really what they're saying. They're saying, man, Egypt is way better than where we're at right now. That's literally what they're saying. They're saying, at least in Egypt, we had food, we had bread, we had everything we need. Out here, man, we're dying of hunger. It was so much better in Egypt. I don't want to die in the wilderness. I would have rather died in Egypt. Why didn't God just kill us in Egypt? And so really, this is the picture. Once again, their hearts are filled with bitterness. Their hearts are filled with doubt. Their hearts are filled with worry. Their hearts are filled with unbelief. And they begin to complain again. And that's just going to be a reoccurring theme. They're complaining against the Lord and against Moses. Now remember, Egypt was bondage. Egypt was slavery. Egypt was death. It is not true what they are saying here. Egypt was horrendous. They didn't have it good in Egypt. But this is what's going on. They're quick to forget what the Lord did for them. And they begin to look at the past, and instead of being honest with the past, they fantasize the past. And they say, well, man, I had it so good, and you know what, serving the Lord now, I always have problems, I always have struggles. Oh, but before I gave my life to Christ, man, I was living a good life. Were you? You were an addict, and you were an alky, and you were already locked up, and you were living a good life. You understand? But we struggle with that. We make that mistake. We look back to Egypt, and instead of remembering what it was, we fantasize it. We say, man, but we had it good. We were slaves, and we were in bondage, and we were miserable. We were always angry and bitter and restless. Oh, but it was good. No, it wasn't good. But that's what they're doing, and we do it a lot. We forget what the Lord has done for us. And the enemy deceives us. He deceives us in thinking that our past life was the best life. He deceives us in thinking that it's greener on the other side of the fence. But it's not. It's not. And so they're complaining and they're murmuring. But notice verse 4. The Lord knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew the need of the people. Remember, God always knows our needs before we're aware of them. I think at times, you know, we worry so much. And, you know, the temptation is, but where's God at? And doesn't God know that I need him right now? Or doesn't God know that, man, we're struggling? We're barely making it. Yes, God knows. And God knew before you knew. And God knew exactly what his people needed before they needed it. And notice, this is what he tells Moses. He says, Moses, this is what I'm going to do. Every night, I'm going to bring quail. What is quail? Quail is birds, meat. And then every morning, I'm going to bring bread. I'm going to send bread. I'm literally going to rain down bread. They call it manna. The truth is, we don't really know what it is. Some people say it's like a wafer. Some people say it's tortillas, you know. Some people say it was flour, bread. The truth is, we don't know what it is. That's what manna means. Manna means, what is it? It's literally what the word in Hebrew means. But we'll refer to it as bread. God said, in the night, I'm going to send quail. In the morning, I'm going to send bread. And the Lord tells Moses, I will provide. I will provide. Trust me. Believe in me. Rest in me. I will provide all your needs. And that's exactly what God does. God provides all the needs of his people. Now remember, God saves them, God redeems them, and now God is teaching them what it means to belong to him. And one of the things that God is teaching them is that he is a God who provides. And so the idea is, you give your life to Christ, you give your life to the Lord, and after, God doesn't wave goodbye, or God doesn't say, well, good luck, you know, I hope you make it. But no, God provides. God is with you every step, every day, every moment. God now becomes your God. And to have God as your God, it means, one of the things it means is he's your provider. God is now your provider. God is the God who provides for his people. And so really what God is now teaching his people is that he's their provider, that they can trust in him to provide all their needs. Physical needs, most definitely, but even more than that, spiritual needs, emotional needs, financial needs, any need we can possibly have, God wants to provide it. God wants to meet that need. And that's what he's teaching his people. As they're going through the wilderness, just picture it, okay? God sends his people into a desert where there's no food, where there's no water, where there's no resources. God sends his people to the most miserable, desolate place you can go, all to teach them that he is their provider. God wants to show them. God wants them to be convinced that any need we might have, God provides. We don't have to worry. We don't have to stress out. We don't have to be filled with fear or filled with doubt. Whatever need I might have, God will provide it. God wants his people to understand that. God wants you to be convinced that whatever need you might have, it might be an emotional need, it might be a financial need, it might be a spiritual need, whatever it is, he is able to meet that need. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. And so he takes them into the wilderness and he provides water and he provides bread from heaven, meat from the birds, and he meets every single one of their needs. And so what's chapter 16 all about? Chapter 16 is all about God's provision. God's provisions. And this is what I want us to focus on. And I won't be that long tonight. I've noticed that the shorter I preach, the more people like me, amen? And the more people tell me, man, that was a good message. And so you learn a few things over the years that a lot of times less is more. So I don't want to be too long tonight, but this is what we're going to do. I want to talk to you about the provision of the Lord, that God is our provider, that we can rest in God. He provides for his people. And I want to share with you a few things we learn about God's provision from this chapter. And I got seven, and I don't know if I'm going to cover all of them, but I'm just going to keep going until the Lord puts it in my heart to stop. So look at first. So remember the context, the chapter, God provides for his people. Very easy to understand. They're in the wilderness. They're in the desert. He's teaching them to trust in him. And in spite of them, he still provides. They're not trusting in God. They're complaining. They're doubting like us, like me and you, questioning God, getting upset at the husband because there's no money, or at the wife. That's us. But in spite of them, God provides. And this is what we learn about God's provision. First, in verse 6, we're not going to read the entire chapter again. We're just going to go through some of these main verses. Notice in verse 6 that the Lord provides for his people. For his people. And let's read verse 6 again. I found this verse so interesting when I was studying this. This is what Moses says. At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And this is all that means. Moses tells the people, hey, through God's provision, through the food that he will provide, you will be reminded that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In other words, the provision that God supplies would remind the people that they belong to the Lord, that God's going to provide for them because they belong to him. God saved them. God redeemed them. God delivered them from bondage. And guess what? Now they belong to the Lord. They are God's property. They are God's children. And so now who is responsible for them? Who's responsible for them? God. It's so easy to understand. The moment me and my wife had our children, who are responsible for those children? Me. Who's going to feed them? Who's going to clothe them? Who's going to make sure they have a roof over their head and clothes on their back and shoes on their feet? I was going to say feet on their shoes. Who? Me. They now belong to me. They are my responsibility. And for the rest of their lives, I will provide for my children. And that's the same way God views us. We are his children. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if you are born again, redeemed by the blood of Christ, you belong to God. And God is responsible for you. And God takes that serious. That is a serious commitment that God makes. He's responsible for us. And he provides for his people. And you have to see it that way. I belong to God. And I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how we're going to pay this or do this or get through this. But we will, because God will provide. God has given me a word, his word, that he will provide. I am his child. How is he going to look? If this happens to me, or if this goes on, or if I lose this, or if I'm kicked out of here, how is that going to make God look? I'm his responsibility, and he will provide. Now, the second thing I want to share with you, notice in verse 7, notice that the Lord provided to reveal his glory. And let's read verse 7 again. Let's read it together in our text. In the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. Now this is the second thing we see here. Through his provision, the people would see God's glory. In other words, they're in need, and God was going to meet that need. God was going to provide. And through his provision, God was going to reveal himself to his people. And this is what God was going to reveal. I'm a powerful God, and I can do all things, and your needs are nothing to me. God is glorified when he provides for our needs. And that's why God loves to provide for our needs. That's why God loves to provide for his children, because he is glorified. Let me just give you an example, and many of you are going to feel me on this. How many of you have found yourself in a desperate need? You just had a financial need, or it was maybe an emotional, physical, spiritual need, and you're so weak, and you're so scared, and you're stressed out. And next thing you know, God provides. God does a miracle. God, somebody sends you something or gives you something, or someone comes up to you and says, you know what, God put this in my heart to give this to you, or to say this to you, or to pray for you. And you're just blown away. And what's your response? Your response is always, man, you're amazing. God, I remember, true story. When I first got married, we had to buy a refrigerator. And I'll be honest with you, at the time I didn't have money for the refrigerator. And I'll never forget, man, I was stressed out because I was thinking, man, you know, we're about to get married, we're supposed to move out, and we're going to have our apartment with no refrigerator. I'm going to have to be buying ice every day, you know. And I'll never forget, man, I was just praying, Lord, just provide, Lord. I trust in you. You're going to open up a door. And I'll never forget. This is like just etched in my mind. That literally like 2 weeks before I got married, I got a letter from the IRS, and they said, we made a mistake, and we forgot to give you your real refund. And there was a fat check. Back in those days, they would send checks. You know, at least that's how I would get it. And it was for the right amount of money for the fridge that my wife wanted to get. And guess what I did? What do you think I did? What do you think I did? What was my response? It's like, man, God, you're amazing. You see how God reveals his glory when he meets our needs? When's the most time you say, God, you're amazing? What are you going through? It's mostly when God meets your needs. It's when you're weak. It's when you're struggling. It's when you're feeling like giving up. And God just shows up and meets your needs. And your response is always, man, God, you're amazing. That's why God meets our needs, because he's glorified through our needs. He's glorified in our weaknesses. And that's why Paul would even say, man, I would rather be weak, because when I'm weak, I'm strong. Because God's strength is perfected in our weaknesses. And that's what God tells Moses. He says, hey, I'm going to provide, and I'm going to be glorified when I provide. Now, notice third, got to keep it moving. In verse 18, the Lord provided abundantly, abundantly. And don't forget that word, abundantly. Look at verse 18. Look at we read. But when they measured it with an omer. Now some of you are saying, what is an omer? So even probably George said, Matt, is that my brother Omar there? You know, what is an omer? Listen, an omer. Somebody's like, I know Omar, but I don't know this omer. An omer is a unit of measurement. And it literally means 2 liters. 2 liters. So think of a 2-liter drink. Amen, fam. That's the idea. When they measured a 2-liter of this bread, think of flour, you know, a 2-liter. Whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. And then look at this. The end of verse 18, I fell in love with this little detail. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. Isn't that amazing? They were hungry. They were complaining. The Lord provides meat and he provides bread. But notice he provided abundantly. Abundantly. In other words, it's a buffet. It's a buffet. God is not stingy. God is okay if you want to splurge a little bit here. They ate as much as they could. When God provides, he provides abundantly, abundantly. In other words, God gives us oftentimes, I want to be careful how I say this, because I don't want you guys to think, man, he's going Benny Hinn on us, TBN, you know. But in a real way, God gives us more than we deserve. God gives us more than we deserve. It's abundancy with God. It's an abundant life with God. God overflows our cup. God overflows our heart. Everything God does, it's abundant. It's abundant life. It's an abundant provision. God gives us as much as we can eat. And oftentimes he gives us more. You know, unfortunately, there's this idea, you know, when you give your life to Christ, you know, it's a boring life, but that's farthest from the truth. It's an abundant life. And God overflows our heart with joy. And he provides abundantly. Now notice fourth, verse 21, that as God is providing for people, notice that he provided daily. Daily. Look at verse 21. Now look at this little detail. We read, morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat, but when the sun grew hot, it melted. A daily provision. And this is the picture. They're hungry, They're starving, they're complaining, and so God provides food. But what God does is he provides enough food for that day. For that day. And then the next day, he provides for that day. And then the next day, he provides for that day. It's a daily provision. In other words, God provided fresh manna every day. And the people were to gather for that day, eat it, and then burn whatever was left over. And then the next day, God provided fresh manna for that day. And that's how God provided. It was a day-to-day thing. And really the idea there is God wanted his people to trust in him every day. So it wasn't as if God said, okay, here's manna for a month, and just have a great month, and I'll see you next month. That's not how God works. But God says, I'm going to give you exactly what you need for today. And tomorrow, you need to trust that I'm going to provide for that day. And the next day, you need to trust that I'm going to provide for that day. It's daily trust. God is looking for daily trust. Daily trust. Man, that is such a powerful point. That's probably the message of tonight. God is looking for you to trust in him daily. Daily. And let me just hit it home. At times, it's easy to start off the week. Let's say Sunday. Let's use Sunday as an example. That's the start of the week. And in your heart, there's just so much trust for the Lord. You know, you come to church, you're filled, you hear the worship and the preaching and the brothers and sisters, and your heart is overfilled with trust. You leave feeling good. Let's just be honest, man. When we come to church, we feel good. It's refreshing. That's one of the reasons why we like coming to church. But the danger is, it's like on Sunday, man, you're in the highs and you're trusting the Lord. But then Monday, uh-oh, Jonah's not here to lead me in worship. Adam's not preaching to me. And so your trust wavers a little bit. And then Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And by Saturday, you don't even know if you're saved. And that's every week. But what is God looking for? He's looking that you would trust in him daily. That you would wake up every morning. Say, God, today I'm trusting you, God. Today, God, I don't know what I'm going to confront. I don't know what I'm going to go through. I don't know what obstacles are going to confront me. But, Lord, no matter what, I'm going to trust in you. Lord, today I'm going to trust that you're going to send me fresh manna, Lord. That, Lord, I can't live off what I ate on Sunday, Lord. I can't live off what I heard on Thursday. But I need fresh manna today, Lord. I need your presence today, Lord. I need to receive from you today, Lord. I need you to fill my cup today, Lord. God is looking for daily trust. God is looking for everyday Christians. Those who would depend upon him every day. And that's what God is teaching his people. He sends them exactly what they need for that day. Not more, not less, because he wants them to trust in him that day. And the same thing is true for us. God wants us to trust in him today. And God would literally tell us, Jesus literally says, hey, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. That's our problem. We're always thinking about tomorrow, the worries, the cares, and we miss what God is doing today. And God says, don't worry about tomorrow. The worries of tomorrow are sufficient. Let tomorrow worry about itself, but focus on receiving fresh manna today. Focus on getting to know God today. Rest in God today. Trust in God today. Because God is doing something. God is providing. God is pouring out bread from heaven upon your life. You're blessed. You're so worried about tomorrow. You're missing what God is doing in your life. And God wants us to trust in him daily. Now notice fifth, in verse 26, that the Lord provided extra for the Sabbath. Look at verse 26. Let's read it together, fam. We read, 6 days you shall gather it. But look at this. But on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. Now this is the idea. From Sunday to Thursday, God provided one omer, 2 liters. Still get trip out on the word omer because I think about Omar, right? It's like right now he's just in my mind. God provides just enough for that day. But this is what God tells his people. On the sixth day, Friday, I'm going to give you double. I'm going to provide for you 2 Omars. And the reason why is because on Saturday is the Sabbath. And I don't want you to work on Sabbath. So I'm going to provide enough on Friday in order for you can keep the Sabbath. I'm going to give you extra on Friday in order that you can rest on Saturday, in order that you might be refreshed and recharged and focused on me. And so God gives extra in order that they might keep the Sabbath. Now, this is the application. God provides for his people everything they need in order that they might keep the Sabbath. What does that mean? Simply this. God provides all our needs in order that we don't have to work ourselves to death. In order that we might come to church on Sunday, in order that we might take a day to rest, take a day to reflect, take a day to focus on God. God doesn't want us to be overworked. That's not God's will for his people. You know, I don't know why at times as Christians, and I have this problem, we think that because we have much activity in our lives, we think that we're doing God's will. And so we equate busyness with God's will. So we think, man, if I do this, and if I go here, and if I'm always running around here, man, I'm doing God's will. I'm in God's will. And we eventually burn out. It's not God's will. God's will is that we would learn to take a Sabbath. God's will is that we would learn once a week to just pause, to just reflect on him, to focus on him, to think about him, to learn more about him. God wants us to practice Sabbath. God wants us not to overwork, to learn to take days off, to spend time with family, children, spend time with the people of God, to come to church. That's God's desire. God's desire is not for us to work 7 days a week. And some say, well, but I have to. I have to. And it's as if you want to say, but do you? Do you have? Is money the only thing that's important in life? Is there something more important than money? Is there something that we have to do as believers more than making money? I think there is. I think we all would agree there is. God doesn't want us to overwork. But God, this is what I've learned, fam. If we trust in him, if we honor him, if we faithfully serve and follow him, God will give us exactly what we need in order that we might practice Sabbath. God will say, you know what? I'm going to give you enough so you can take Sunday off. I'm going to give you enough for you can have an extra day with your family. That's just how good he is. Let us end. And I want to end with verse 35. Notice how verse 35 ends. It says, the Lord provided always. And I want to end with this. The people of Israel ate manna for 40 years till they came to a habitable land. They ate manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. This is the idea. God provides, and he kept on providing, and he kept on providing, and he kept on providing for 40 years through the whole wilderness journey. Every day, God provided for his people. And this is the application. Right now, we as believers, we're also going through a wilderness journey. We're pilgrims journeying to heaven, or the heavenly city. And God promises us, I will always provide for you. I will always provide. Every day, I will provide. If you trust in me, and that's the key, trust in the Lord. If you just commit it to the Lord's hands, he will provide. He will provide. He will provide financial need. He will provide physical need. But even more than that, spiritual need. Even more than that, he will provide the strength we need to enter into the promised land, to get where we need to go. He will give us what we need. Make sure we finish our race and arrive safely to the other side. Man, I love that idea that the Lord provided the whole 40 years. And I promise you this, man, when you come to the end of your life, you're going to look back and you're going to be like, man, the Lord provided all these years. And so the exhortation is trust in him. God bless you, fam. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And thank you, Lord, for Exodus 16, for provision, Lord. I know that there are some who need to hear that, Lord, because they have needs. Now, some, it's a financial need. Some, it's a physical need. But I believe even more than that, some, it's an emotional need. Some, a spiritual need. There's just so much needs. We go through stuff. Some of us are hurting. Some of us, man, we're going through a trial. Some of us are feeling overwhelmed by life and the trials of life. And a lot of times, Lord, we don't know what to do. That's just the truth. A lot of times, Lord, we're scared. We mumble, we complain, we're afraid, we panic. There's just so many emotions that go through us, Lord. We're human, Lord. We wrestle with so many emotions, so many fears, thoughts. Why is this happening? What am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to pay for this or meet this need? So much need, Lord. And what you want to show us tonight is that whatever need we might have, you will provide. You will provide, Lord. That you're so ready to provide every need, every day. You want to meet our need. You want to help us. You want to give us fresh manna. And that's what we need, Lord. We need fresh manna. We need fresh bread from heaven. We need strength, Lord. Every day, Lord, every day we need to receive from you. We can't live off what we received yesterday. We can't live off last Sunday. But, Lord, every day we're confronted with new needs, and we need new strength for those needs. We need help, God. We need help. And you present yourself is the God who provides. That's who you are. This is who you are. As we're reading this chapter, this is your biography, Lord. This is who you are. This is what you're all about. It doesn't matter how we feel or how we don't feel. This is who you are. You are the God who provides bread from heaven. And Lord, our prayer tonight is that you would provide, Lord. Provide for my needs, Lord. Give me fresh manna, Lord. Give me fresh strength, Lord. Give me fresh power, Lord, fresh anointing. Meet my needs, Lord. Whatever the need is, Lord, meet it, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me. Rain down manna from heaven, Lord, upon my life. Give me strength, Lord. I'm weak, Lord. Give me peace, Lord. I'm filled with fear. Give me comfort, Lord. I'm hurting, Lord. I'm in pain, Lord. Lord, give me a clean conscience. I feel guilty and condemned at times. Give me direction, Lord. I feel lost at times. Give me energy, Lord. I feel so fragile. I feel so tired at times. Meet my need, whatever it may be, Lord. Meet our needs, Lord. We commit every need. We commit every family into your hands. Let's do this, fam. If you have a need, would you just shoot your hand in the air where you're at? Every eye closed, every eye bowed. We just want to pray for you. Lord, any need, Lord, we just commit it into your hands. You know the need, Lord. You know what we're going through. You know the struggles we face. They're real, Lord. We're not sugarcoating anything. We're not trying to cover up anything. We're not trying to present ourselves this way when we're really this way. This is us, Lord. We're just in need, Lord. But you have shown us that you are so ready to meet every need. So, Lord, we commit our lives into your hands. We commit this need into your hands, and we pray, Lord, that you would meet it, and through it, that you would reveal your glory, Lord. That through this need, Lord, that we would have that moment where we say, man, God is amazing. That we would have that moment where you just show up and we look up and say, man, Lord, you're amazing. That through this need, you would be glorified. That through our weakness, that you would be glorified. As people see our lives, that they would see Jesus. And that Jesus would be glorified through our faith and through our peace in you, that you, Lord, would be glorified. Meet our needs, Lord. We're so weak, but that's why you came. You came for the weak. And in you, Lord, we're strong. So, Lord, we're not going to depend upon ourselves. We've tried that, Lord. It doesn't work. But we're going to depend upon you. And we commit every need, every brother, every sister. We take the time to pray for every need as a family, trusting and resting in you, Lord. And Lord, we just receive fresh manna, Lord. That's what we do tonight, Lord. Just with hands lifted up, Lord, we receive by faith fresh manna, fresh strength for tomorrow, fresh strength, fresh energy, fresh power, fresh commitment for tomorrow, Lord, taking it day by day, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We bless you. We just commit the rest of our week into your hands. Thank you, Lord, for every brother and sister. In Jesus' name, and all of the family says, amen, fam. Can we give a clap offering to the Lord? Amen. Grace and peace, fam. We are dismissed. God bless you. Grace and peace. Lord, if you need more prayer, I'm up here to serve you. If not, Lord, we will see you on Sunday, fam. Sunday at 3. Make sure to say what's up to the fam on the way out, and make sure to get your kids, because I do not want them. Amen. I already got two crazy ones. So grace and peace, fam. God bless you.
Come this far by light of day, through deserts of loneliness to this sacred place. Well, you know my life and all I've been through. The sin in my heart has kept me from you. But Father, your grace is great. Mercy reigns out.
darkest night, I cry for a way. If your shining light and Father, your grace is greater than sin, shines down on me, it heals me again. Singing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb. Singing hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb.